During the Middle Ages, Jews were forced to take vows in many Christian countries regarding their faith in the so-called religion, Christianity, that they didn't want to convert to. But they were forced to take vows of conversion and promises and obligations and oaths to God. And so they came up with a song that they sing, a prayer that they sing at Yom Kippur. And they usually sing it in the synagogues on the evening service, so it would have been the night before, but we don't get the building then, so we do it today. And Kol Nidre is the request to God to release us from all the vows that we may have made. And so it's also the most beautiful song in the Jewish religion and the Hebrew faith. And so Kol Nidre is done three times. There's that number three again. And so Cantor, Kol Nidre. You can follow along in your books.
Kol Nidre Vesare Vakamarame Vekoname Vehinuye Vekinuse Ushavot Din Darna Udish Tabana Udacharim na vedi asana al navshatana miyom kiporim ze Ar Yom Kippurim Haba Aleinu Letova Ikarat navehon, kalon yahon sharan, shavi ikin, shavi itin, betelin mutalin, lasharin. Vela kayomin nidrana la la nidre vesarana la sare shavuatana la la Shavuot.
Lord, thank you. Help me with that. Bless me, Lord, as I sing this.
Kol Nidre Vesare Vekarame, vekoname, vehinuye, vekinuse, ushevot, din darna, Udish tabana udacharim na vedi Asarna, Al Navshatana, Miyom Kipporim Ze, Aryom Kipporim Haba Aleinu. Kon ikarat naveon, kon yon sharan shavikin. Shavitin betelin umbatalin la sharin vela kayamin nidrana la nidre Sarana lasare shvatana la la shavot. Kol nidre vesare vekarame vekoname vihinuye vehinuse ushevod din darna udish tabana uda karimna vedi asana Al nafshatana miyom kipporim te ad yom kipporim haba aleinu Letova kohon ikarat na vehon kohon yahon sharan shavikin shavitin betelim utalin la sharin vela kayamin nidrana la nidre Sarana la sare ushavuatalana la la shavot.
Lost my microphone. Okay, unlike the other holy days, which were days, often weeks of celebration, the Day of Atonement was a time of great solemnness. It was the only occasion on which anyone was permitted to enter the most holy place. And it was the only day in the long course of the year on which people were commanded to fast. It's the only biblical fast in the whole Bible is today. The Day of Atonement was to be a time of Sabbath rest and powerful self-examination. This high holy day is called Yom Kippur, or Yom Kipparim, HaKipparim, which also means Day of Atonement. It is observed this day every year, but sometimes there's certain days of the week it doesn't fall on, but and they fixed the calendar so it won't. But today is actually a Shabbat, but it's also Yom Kippur. Isn't that amazing? It occurs 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets, which is in the seventh month, Yom Teruah, which we celebrated 10 days ago. And the seventh month, they call it sometimes Tishrei, although God didn't have names for his months. Those were made up by man. It's a time of self-examination and repentance. The Day of Atonement was the day sacrifices were made by the high priest for the sins of the entire nation, the people at this time privately confessing their sins to God. Yom Kippur is an important step in God's unfolding revelation of what was to be accomplished by the death of Yeshua HaMashiach. When Adam and Eve sinned by eating of the forbidden fruit in Eden, God killed animals and clothed them with the animal skins. The animals were an atonement for their sins. In this case, there was one animal being sacrificed for Adam and one animal being sacrificed for Eve. So that was one animal for each person. At the time of the Passover, when the people were being led out of Egypt, a lamb was killed for each Jewish family that was there. And the blood was spread upon the doorposts and lintels of their homes. On this occasion, it was the case of one animal for an entire family, which was usually about 10 people. And so you see there's an unfolding progressive revelation here. On the Day of Atonement, the next step in this unfolding revelation is that there is a goat killed for the sins of a whole nation, one nation. This is the progression. There was one animal for one person with Adam and Eve. There was one lamb for one family in the Passover. And there was one sacrifice for the entire nation. And finally, there is to be one sacrifice for the entire world. The climax of that was expressed clearly when John the Baptist pointed to Yeshua and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world." Amen. Although the sacrifices on the Day of Atonement were for the nation's sins, they were nevertheless offered by Aaron or one of his successors as high priest, and therefore had to be succeeded by sacrifices for the sins of the priest and his household, because he who is not pure cannot make sacrifice for others. It was to be a bull, and the blood of the bull was sprinkled in the front of the atonement cover, that is, on the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the most holy place of the tabernacle. The blood was a testimony to the fact that an innocent victim had died in the high priest's place for his sin. Before Aaron could enter the most holy place to sprinkle the blood of the bull on the atonement cover, he was to enter it with a censer of coals and incense. The clouds of incense were to conceal the atonement cover, and thus in some measure veiled the presence of the Lord, who was above the ark, so that he, that is Aaron, will not die, cannot look upon me and live. Since the same procedure was followed later for the goat offering for the people's sins, Aaron would have entered the most holy place four times on that day. You can read all about this in Leviticus 16. There were two unique offerings at the heart of those prescribed for the Day of Atonement, the offering of a goat, the blood of which was to be sprinkled on the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, and number two, a goat known as the scapegoat. from the word escape, which was driven away from the people into the wilderness. Each of these symbols symbolized something important that needed to happen if the people were to be delivered from, one, the penalty, and two, the bondage of their sins. Each is therefore also a type of what was achieved for us by Yeshua HaMashiach. He bore the penalty for our sins, but second, he also bore it away that we might not ever have to face it again. After having sacrificed the bull for his own sin and having sprinkled the bull's blood on the atonement cover as a testimony to the animal's death, Aaron did the same thing with the goat that was to be offered for the sins of the entire nation. And in the text says, in this way he will make atonement for in regard to the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins had been, according to Leviticus 16:16. So you have to have a picture of the Ark of the Covenant in your minds. Remember, it's a long box, wooden box, maybe a yard long. I don't know how long it was. Covered with gold and contained the stones of the tablets of the law of Moses, the Torah. The lid of this box is called the atonement cover, or mercy seat, we call it. It was constructed of pure gold and had figures of cherubims, two cherubims, a type of angel on each. The wings of the cherubim went backward and upward so that they almost touched directly over the center of the ark. Between these outstretched wings, God was to dwell symbolically. So, as it stands, the ark with its law of Moses and the symbolized presence of the holy God is a picture of judgment. Would it not be? For what does God see as he looks down from the wings of the cherubim? He sees the Torah, which we have broken, because he is a holy God. This is the one predominating message of Leviticus. He must judge sin. But here is where the atonement cover comes in and why it's sometimes called the mercy seat. For it is upon that atonement cover once a year on the Day of Atonement that the high priest sprinkled the blood of the goat that had been killed just moments before in the courtyard of the temple. The goat was a substitute, as all the sacrifices were, for an innocent victim dying in the place of those who deserved to die. But what was unique about this sacrifice is that its blood was sprinkled on the atonement cover. Thus, when God looked down from between the outstretched wings of the cherubim, he saw now that not the law which we and all other people have broken, but the blood of the victim. That's what he saw there. And he saw that atonement had been made. Now his love was free to save anyone who should come to him through faith in the sacrifice. And this is an act of mercy. Okay, we know that Yeshua is our great atonement for all the blood now. Okay, the third and second unique sacrifice of the Day of Atonement was the scapegoat. His name is Azazel. And the word scapegoat comes to us from this goat. Through this animal was not actually sacrificed by the priest, but rather was permitted to die in the wilderness. After the blood of the first goat was sprinkled on the atonement cover within the most holy place, Aaron laid his hands on the head of the second goat and confessed over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites. All their sins were placed on the head of this goat. And he put them on the goat's head, and then the goat was sent away into the desert where it would die. This symbolism is obvious. It points to the bearing away of our sin, that is, the removing of it and its guilt from the people. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, and so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So the meaning of these two sacrifices is important psychologically and factually, because as sinners, we do not need to just escape God's judgment for sin by having the penalty for it borne by another. We also need to escape its burden and be delivered from the guilt. Remember, I told you before, you could escape to get salvation, but you also need to be delivered That's the whole story of Passover. You know, leaving Egypt is escape, but being delivered is taken through the Red Sea. These sacrifices correctly connect both... Okay, I already read that, didn't I? Jesus accomplished all of this for us. Yeshua did. He bore the punishment for sins. He took them away from us. Hebrews 13:12 says, "And so Yeshua also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood." So he had to go outside the gate. He couldn't stay in camp either. After the scapegoat had been driven away, two final offerings were made, a burnt offering for Aaron's sins and a burnt offering for the people. And this symbolized renewed dedication to God on the part of everyone now that the atonement for sins has been made. And it says at the end of the chapter 16 that this was to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And so it was until Yeshua came. Okay. Without the shedding of blood, according to Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So if we are to be saved from our sins, there must be death, either that of the people who thereby bears the punishment for his or her own sins, or else we need a substitute, dying in the sinner's place. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He did it, according to Hebrews 9:28. The sacrifices of Leviticus had to be repeated over and over and over again, year after year. And the work of Aaron continued generation after generation through his priestly descendants. But when Yeshua came to earth, he sacrificed himself once, thereby accomplishing for good all that was needed to be accomplished or could ever be accomplished. Okay? And it says in Leviticus 17:11 that it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. And guess what? Hebrews 10:4 says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." So, what about today's Jews? It's impossible to keep the Torah, the law, because there's no temple. There's no place to do sacrifices. It's also impossible to keep the Torah because you can't even do its two basic commandments, which are love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, let alone try and do all the other 611 commandments. How can you do all that stuff? And if you do the Torah to keep it, you have to do it perfectly. And only one person in all of history ever did it perfectly, Yeshua HaMashiach. No one else can ever do it perfectly. So there has to be another way. It's so sad to see Hasidic Jews these days take chickens and kill them and wave them around their head three times asking for forgiveness of sin on Yom Kippur. It's a sad ceremony, but they do that. They don't know that, you know, today people have to believe on Yeshua in order to be saved because there is no temple. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. When Yeshua died on Calvary, the great veil of the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn in half from the top to the bottom, according to Matthew 27:51, signifying that the way was now open into the very presence of God for those who should come to God by faith in him. Before this, the way was open only to the high priest and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now whomever will may come. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's it. That's it. Yeah. Situation. Yeah. If you're Jewish or Gentile, you need to hear the gospel. You need to hear the word. You need to be saved. Doesn't matter who you are. Lord, have mercy on me because I am a sinner. And Yeshua said that those who pray that prayer are justified. Okay? And so Jewish people need to come to him and ask him to take away their sin. They need to come and confess their sins to him, and he will forgive them because he is just. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is an awesome God, and he has a way for all of us. We all just need to take it. Amen.